We're going to talk some about Israel's fall, blinding, and casting away. And in between the fall and the blinding and casting away was the diminishing recorded in the Bible. So we're going to look, we'll be starting in Isaiah 6. Pardon me just a minute. We're going to consider what the Bible says about the fall, blinding, and casting away. And that casting away, sometimes it's referred to in the Bible in the prophetic term of, Lo am I, meaning, not my people, I will not be your God. So this can help to answer questions, I hope this study will, about things. I've got four listed here in my notes, but I'm sure you can think of others from reading in the Acts, Paul's Acts epistles, Acts, that would be pre-prison epistles, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, and you can correlate between those epistles and the Acts journeys that Paul took and the few sermons that are recorded there, at least three. But here are the things that I hope that this study will help to answer. Things like, are there things or situations today that applies to the biblical description of things being offered to idols? We read about, you know, things being offered to idols in Israel's apostasy, or even in the epistles there in Acts, Paul's Acts epistle in that period. What about, are there weaker brothers in the world today, in the sense spoken of in the Bible, that the term is used in the Bible, weaker brothers? The third thing I have listed, is there any godly, biblical use for or need for the sign of tongues to be given today? And by the way, that was given at the time God wanted to use it. It was not taken. They received it. And, you know, if God isn't giving it today, then people are not receiving it. They are taking it or trying to make it. But anyway, we'll go through that. Do the biblical rules and reasons for head coverings apply today? You know, if you see in some groups, gatherings, persuasions, if a man walks into the meeting room with a hat on, he would be shunned or asked to leave. If a woman walks in without a hat on, she would be criticized or shunned. Do we need to find biblical answers to each of these questions? Or is there one overriding biblical fact, often overlooked, that covers all of those questions and more in one answer? I don't believe that we can be right in directly applying any of those specialized biblical admonitions today because of the change since then in God's statements about the present condition of Israel. Well, we'll get into that. We'll get into the scriptures about it. But God's not working through Israel today. That's what that Lo Am I was about. In this study, we'll see that God's holy nation of Israel is no longer here today. Excuse me just a minute. It's not God's holy nation. Israel. The people that are over there now called Israel are the United Nations State of Israel. Actually, I'm thinking it's more accurate to say League of Nations designated that as a state. I don't think United Nations came into existence until later. But they were placed there by man. Israel was placed there by mankind, not by God. When Israel is there by God's placement, it'll be a holy nation. And there'll be a kingdom of priests. A whole kingdom of priests. And why would they need a priest then? We don't need priests now. Things will have changed. We will have been caught up to be with the Lord, and there won't be any more gospel of the grace of God that works. There'll be people talking about it and telling you you can be saved by it, but that will have ended. Just like now, people are saying you can be saved by the law. Well, that's over with. Israel was never saved by the law. They broke the law and had to bring sacrifices, reminding them over and over that they were sinners and needed a Savior. So the rules that only applied to them and about them are not applicable today. But they're waiting for God to recall His holy nation Israel to the land. The land that's promised in Scripture, yeah. Those specialized biblical admonitions were given during and for that unique period after Israel's biblical fall and before their prophesied blinding and casting away as Lo am I. There was a period there between the fall and the casting away. And we'll see that those admonitions were specifically for that period when Paul was assigned to and primarily concerned with a temporary ministry of saving as many as he could out of Israel into the body of Christ before Israel was fully blinded and cast away in the last half chapter of Acts. Israel was cut off. Israel was cut off at the end of Acts. Israel's blinding and casting away is not a made-up term. It's not a made-up event. It's not fictitious or a fable or a contrived explanation. You can read about it for yourself in the last half chapter of Acts. Inspired of God, Paul uses Isaiah's casting away curse in Isaiah 6, verse 9 and following. And he uses it to temporarily end Israel's special status as God's peculiar treasure, God's people. Let's look at that. Isaiah 6, and we'll start in verse 9. Just a moment. And he said, "Go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not." And that bears on something else we've been talking about recently. "Hear ye indeed, but understand not. And see ye indeed, but perceive not." Verse 10, "Make the heart of this people fat. Make their ears heavy. And shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes." You can see a blinding there. Shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes. Shut their eyes. He goes on, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. Well, that was a prophecy of the time when Israel will have passed God's limit, the limits of His mercy. It's a prophecy of when things will change. God will finally drop the other foot. I don't know. He will finally do what He said He would do. That they would go through the Leviticus 26, five courses of judgment. And they're in the ending of that. Not the ending yet, but the last parts of that five courses. So, it was to be the time for God to act by when Israel was cast away. When Israel fell, that meant they had walked away from their covenant, and God was not held by "I will curse them that curse him." Those Gentiles that cursed Israel, God could now send a plan to save them, even as unforgivable as they were. And that's what he did after Acts 7, fall of Israel. He saved Paul in Acts 9, Saul of Tarsus, I should say. Why would God want to end Israel's opportunity to love and to follow God's requirements? Well, because God froze their position to fix their problem. God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Look at Romans 5, verses 10 and 11. For when we Gentiles, were enemies. I shouldn't put that Gentiles in there. We people, we humans. Gentiles or Jews, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. How would we Gentiles or non-Israelites ever escape condemnation if Israel would have finally repented and believed and followed their Messiah as their king? Of course, God knew that he knew what he was doing, and when the questions arise that we can't figure out, may we trust in God's wisdom, in his planning, his word, his judgment, rather than our leaning on our own understanding about these things. Here we can see why we're not under the same rules and the tongues and the ordinances of the body of Christ, the portion of the body of Christ that existed then, the dispensing of the gospel, or the dispensation of the gospel, they were under before Israel's blinding and casting away at the end of Acts. We don't have and can't have the same special sending and special privilege and special duty that they had. All that time, the body of Christ was to still, they were still trying to court or invite some of those Israelites individually, not the nation anymore, but individual Israelites into the body of Christ after the fall of Israel, with the gospel of Christ, the gospel that Christ, good news that the Messiah came back to earth to tell Paul about, and to send out Paul with all men's, all people's gospel of salvation. The gospel of Christ was the gospel by which Christ had saved Saul of Tarsus into the body of Christ, even though Saul had been unforgivable in Israel's doctrine, Israel's program and kingdom. Saul, was unforgivable, having committed the unforgivable sin. Acts 7, verses 51 to 59 documents that Saul of Tarsus had committed Israel's unforgivable sin of blaspheming the Holy Ghost and speaking against the Holy Ghost. When I mention speaking against the Holy Ghost, that doesn't sound to you as severe as blaspheming the Holy Ghost, does it? That's why they're mentioned in separate verses, because either one. Israelites could have done, violated, you could say, I guess, and been unforgivable. God's inspired and he sent Paul, okay? He commissioned Paul to recite Isaiah 6, verse 9, that curse in Isaiah that was meant for Israel. He sent Paul to recite that to Israel, casting them away. And that's the last that the Bible says about Israel as God's peculiar treasure, other than biblical prophecies of what's yet to be fulfilled in the future that was already spoken. Let's read beyond that casting away prophecy to see what is prophesied to follow that casting away. What the prophecy went on after they were cast away in Isaiah 6, after telling them they're casting away, it goes on to tell some other things. What's going to happen after that? And we'll see that it is a curse that God designed for the casting away of Israel when it was the right time. Starting in verse 6 again, and he said, go and tell this people. Israel was God's people. When the Bible talks about this people, it's referring to Israel. Hear ye, but understand not. See ye, but perceive not. That's blindness. Not blindness in part anymore. It's blindness. Period. Verse 10 in Isaiah 6. Make the heart of this people fat. And shut their... I skipped a line. Make the heart of this people fat. And make their ears heavy. And shut their eyes. Okay, blindness again. Lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and convert and be healed. And that happened. That you can read it in the last half chapter of Acts. Acts 28 verses 25 to 29 when Paul spoke this to Israel. Verse 11, then said I... you can read Paul's speech. It's called a word, but it's the word from Paul, the information from Paul about Israel's casting away. But back in Isaiah chapter 6, what follows that casting away? It says, then said I, Isaiah spoke to the Lord and said, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without a man. Well, the cities be wasted, that part occurred in AD 70 AD, and the land be utterly desolate. Well, the second part occurred in the centuries that followed AD 70. So look at verse 12. And the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. Well, that's gone on through the centuries since then. Paul read this to the leaders of Israel in Acts 28, verses 25 to 29. And that would have been about 60 to 65 A.D., a few years before the destruction of Israel in 70 A.D. And you can see that there has been a great forsaking in the midst of the land since their casting away, since that was read to them by Paul. Let's look at the next verse in verse 13 now. There's a change that occurs. But yet in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return. So there's going to be a remnant. It's going to be a return of a portion of that holy nation of Israel to the land in the future. But yet, and this may not be what you're thinking of, in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return, and shall be eaten. So that refers to the tribulation or Jacob's trouble. It shall be eaten as a teal tree and as an oak whose substance is in them when they cast their leaves. And we read in Jeremiah, 30 verse 11, it says that God is going to destroy the nations around Israel that have ganged up and surrounded Israel to attack Israel, and he's going to just wipe them out. No problem for God. And it goes on to say, but Israel will not be wholly unpunished for all their iniquity and going astray. That's not the exact wording, but that's the gist of it. For Israel, look at Mark 8:35. I've got several verses here to confirm. Whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. So they're going to lose their lives during that tribulation. They shall be eaten as a teal tree. verse 6 of John 3. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. That'll lead to a time of resurrections. This is 1 Corinthians 15, verses 44 and 46. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. And after that, which is afterward, that which is spiritual. It says, as a teal tree, and as an oak whose substance is in them when they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. So it's talking about death and resurrection there. Alive from the dead is the phrase used in Paul's writings there in I think it's 11. Romans 11 or 10, 9, 10 or 11. I forget exactly where it is. But Israel will return, and there will be tribulation and trouble for Israel, for Jacob. Jeremiah 30, verse 7. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. That's different than us. We're saved from it. We don't get into it. We're saved from getting into the tribulation. We're not appointed to the trouble coming. Israel shall be saved out of it. They get into it, and the Lord saves them out of it, as we described earlier. And here's the verse. Jeremiah 30, verse 11, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee, though I make a full end of all nations whither I have scattered thee, yet I will not make a full end of thee, but I will correct thee in measure, and will not leave thee altogether unpunished. But Exodus 19, verse 6 says that Israel shall be an holy nation, and he shall be unto, and you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. So the Lord told Moses to say that to the children of Israel. And whoever is over there now is not a holy nation for that to be told to. Whoever is over there now is a United Nations state or League of Nations state that was forcibly placed there by humans, not by God. And it's being resisted to this day by the surrounding nations that are going to be, I was going to say going to be destroyed, but we don't know for sure that those are the same nations that will be there at the time God destroys the surrounding nations, or the nations where Israel was scattered. So that which is there now is not God's doing, although he allowed it. That which is over there now is not the fulfillment of Israel's prophecy. Okay? Keep that in mind, and that'll clear up some prophecies. If you're stuck in listening to prophecy teacher after prophecy teacher, that doesn't involve us. The body of Christ will be in heaven by then with Paul and with the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians 1, 6 and 7 tells us that. God's future headquarters on earth, called the land, is a huge area from southern Turkey to the Nile River in Egypt and all the way east to the Euphrates River. And that's a triangle. You know, Satan claimed that triangle, stating that he walked through it. You can read that in Job. However, God said, oh, really? Then God had Abraham walk the perimeter of the land that he would give to his seed. And that was a silent statement that God would reclaim the land for his people and his kingdom that comes out of heaven onto earth. In the future, God will take back his authority here on earth through the descendants of Abraham under the messiahship of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it'll be Abraham's descendants through Isaac and through Israel, not through the descendants of Ishmael or through the body of Christ even. The body of Christ has a heavenly future. All right, I'm done with the lessons.